Today we're continuing on in this series where the seed falls on the parable of the sower. And as we get into this message today, if you were not with us last week, one of the things I shared about this parable that is often overlooked is it's the parable of the sower, not the parable of the receiver, not the parable of the soil. And I think most of the teachings on this are about being good soil, when I think the real heart of this, when you look at the words that Jesus shares, it's more about the sower and how we sow and respond to the soil. And so we'll be looking at Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 13. If you want to turn there, if not, it'll be on the screen up behind me. Starting in verse 1, it says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You have ears to hear this morning, church? All right, and let you hear this parable. Again, a reminder, the sower is anyone scattering seed, right? So what is the seed? The seed is the word of God, and the soil is the heart of man. So when you consider those things, if you are a follower of Christ, you are a sower. Amen? If you're not, you should be. But really, you are a sower if you're a follower of Christ. And so as we share the Word of God, has anybody ever shared the Word of God with somebody and you did not get the response that you were expecting? Right? You don't always get what you expect. You also don't always get it right then. Sometimes the response that you're waiting for comes later. Part of that is the different types of soil that the seed is falling upon. There's a few people that I've been meeting with, and when you meet with somebody on a regular basis who has that good soil that's ready to receive, it's like they soak everything up and everything's blooming and blossoming. They're like, those are exciting, those are fun because you see results, but we've got to realize that all seed sown is good. Amen? All seed sown is good, regardless of what the results are, because the Word of God is good. We know that the Word of God is powerful, and we know that the Word of God will accomplish God's purpose. Amen? So today, as we look at the second place where seed falls, we're looking at stony places. It said, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because there's no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Again, if you can picture the sower scattering seed, grabbing it out of his basket and just kind of throwing handfuls of seeds out like Todd does in the spring. Wouldn't that be fun if you still had to do it like that? You probably would like it. But you think about it, as you're throwing it out there, you can't control where every seed goes. You can't make every seed fall in a dotted line like you can with a planter or something like that. It's just kind of, you're just throwing it out and you're hoping that more of it falls in good ground than not. And in your mind, when you picture this seed falling on rocky areas, on a stony place, I don't know about you, but for me, I picture it like in the parking lot. You get some on the edge of the parking lot as you're out here planting in these fields. Maybe you threw some in the parking lot and you think, man, that doesn't look like a very good place for seed to grow. And it wouldn't be. But this stony place, what he's talking about is not really a parking lot. It's not really something that you look at and you're like, oh, that's rock. What they're talking about is this place that looks like regular ground. See, it says that it falls on the stony place, but it says that it didn't have much earth. There was earth. There was dirt. There was a layer of some kind of soil on the top. And in fact, that's the reason that the seed hits the ground and is able to spring up, right? It gets rooted in something. It gets put in something. It doesn't just stay on the rock, but it springs up. But it just can't stay because there's no depth. There's nowhere for it to really attach to get rooted, and the sun scorches it because it can't remain connected to the nutrients that it needs to get connected to. This gives us a picture of the kind of place that this seed is falling. It's not necessarily a place that looks rocky. Has anybody ever went out to dig a hole and you grab that shovel and you just assume it's nice, good soil, and you go to thrust that thing into the ground and it stings your hands after it goes about that far into the ground? You get that stinger and you're like, oh! Then you decide you're like, I weigh enough, I'm going to jump on it. And then you get the whole body stinger and it doesn't really go any further. I've done that multiple times when I'm digging holes. I don't know why I dig holes. I really don't like it. But what would happen in those cases, a lot of times you would pop off that little bit of soil on the top to find that there's a rock bed underneath. There's something hard underneath. There's something that you did not expect, because on the surface it looks like it's just the yard. It looks grassy. It looks like it's probably just dirt on the surface. But as you begin to dig, you find that under the surface there's a rock bed. There's a stony place. This is the kind of area that Jesus is talking about when he said the seed falls on stony places. And if you have that visual, now look when Jesus explains this parable just a few verses later in Matthew 13, verse 20 to 21. What does he say about these stony places when you picture that as a man's heart? It says, "But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately stumbles." If you weren't here last week, I shared that I don't really believe this is an evangelistic parable, because we, God's people, the church, are the field, according to 1 Corinthians 3:9 that Paul shared. He said, you are the field, and we are the laborers. See, seed is scattered. Even here this morning, as seed is scattered, some of that seed falls on stony places. Now, you might be thinking, I'm in a church. The majority of the people here ought to be good soil. Well, that's the way we think about it when we think about this as an evangelistic parable. But when you think about it as a parable that is sowing seed into the people of God, think about the fact that there are people who have the heart that they hear the word of God, they immediately receive it with joy. Has anybody ever witnessed that before? Somebody hears the word of God, they receive it with joy. Man, that is good. I like that. I receive that. I welcome that. I'm thankful for that. Receive it with joy. This is a good place to really pause on this parable and think about what Jesus said. Think about what he said. See, there's times we read things in the Bible and we kind of have our preformed idea about what it means, and we don't actually look at what was said. Right here, if you look at this parable, you might look at them and say, stony ground, they didn't have root, and all of a sudden that thing that sprouted up is gone. Were they ever even saved to begin with? Okay, I know somebody's already thinking that. I thought that through when I prepared this message. Don't think about what you think. Think about what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? He hears it and immediately receives it with joy. Now, somebody's already, you're the scholar, and you're like, that's not what it means. The Greek word for received here is lambano. Everybody say lambano. That's pretty good. Lambano means to take to oneself and to lay hold of. To take to oneself, but to lay hold of. It means that you grasp it. If you grasp something, you have it, right? It's yours. And what Jesus said was they hear it and immediately they grasp it. They lay hold of it. They grab onto the word that is spoken. This is a person who hears the word of God. They hear the gospel. They realize that they're a sinner and that there's good news that Jesus died on a cross to save you from your sin and rose from the dead. If you believe in him, you can be forgiven and have eternal life. It means that the person heard that message and they grasp it. They laid hold of it. Not only do they lay hold of it, but it says with joy. Now, why would you grasp a message like that with joy if you didn't really get it? With joy, they realize, man, Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. What does a person have to do to be saved? Faith in Christ alone. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Somebody say amen. Amen. Such an important thing for us to get in the church. If you're going to sow seed, you need to understand that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. God laid it out like that for a reason. He says, lest any man should boast. Right? I don't got any reason to brag about anything because I didn't do anything to be saved other than believe in Jesus. I laid hold of the gospel. And Jesus says, now this may not apply to every person, I'm just saying in this parable, Jesus says, this man that has the stony ground in his heart, it said that he heard the word of the Lord and he laid hold of it. He received it with joy. This man got it. And it said not only did he get it, but it was immediately. Did you guys catch that? He heard the word and immediately he laid hold of it with joy. Now stick with me here. This is the parable of the sower. It's important for you and me to understand what happens when this seed falls on stony places. It's more important that we understand it than the man who receives it. It says that he receives it, but he has no root in himself. He has no root in himself. He said there's not very much earth there. There's not the things that are needed to sustain the growth that is taking place. So it springs up, but because there's no depth, it withers. Receive the word, but no depth and no root. Have you ever seen someone who gets saved? They come to the altar, maybe they have a powerful encounter, an experience with the Lord. They're excited and everybody around is excited. And right away, they're like, yes, this is great, life-changing. It's what I've been looking for, what I've been waiting for. And then it's not very long before all of a sudden they're gone. It seems like just as quick as they got excited, they're back to their old ways, they're back to their old life, the way that they were. And how often do we look at them and see, well, that wasn't really God. That didn't really happen. It was just a thing. It was just emotions. I'm just telling you, I've been there and I've thought through these things too. And sometimes that could be the case. I'm just saying Jesus gives us an example here of when this is not the case. I've seen people that have encounters that were even slain in the spirit, laying on the ground up here, a powerful encounter with the Lord that didn't really seem to do anything outside of the moment. Church, this is what can happen when there's no depth, when there's no root. It says you will endure for a while, for some period of time. It may be a day, it may be weeks, it may be months. Some period of time, you'll remain excited and remain pushing forward and remain in that joy phase. But you have to be attached to something to continue to get nourishment. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. It says you become established by being rooted. You become established by being rooted. Paul says you got to do this as you've been taught. People without roots need to stick around and be taught. The high of the experience can only get you so far. It can only get you so far. If there's no roots, it will fizzle out. This thing that I hate about ministry, when the whole goal is just to get somebody to get saved and then move on. That's the worst thing that we do as a church. Get somebody saved and then dump them and move on to the next person. That's your problem. Now figure it out. Well, maybe you led them to salvation. Maybe they're going to heaven when they die. But what about the rest of their life here on this earth that's going to have no root? And it's not going to be able to endure when the pressure comes against them. We've got to, yes, get people to know Jesus as Lord and be saved, but we also have to worry about them knowing Him here and now to live a fruitful life, not just to make it through this one to then die and go on to the next. This parable of the sower. Church, sowers, we've got to realize that people can have a genuine salvation experience, but if they have no root, if their heart has that rocky soil underneath, if the dirt is shallow, we have to keep sowing and keep watering and keep pouring into them until there's depth for them to sustain their walk with Jesus. It's critical for us. It's important for us. Because Jesus said what happens is tribulation or persecution will arise. And listen to why He says it will arise. He says it will arise because of the Word. You guys get that? The tribulation, the persecution comes upon their life because of the Word. Because they received the Word of the Lord. You guys realize that when you receive the Word of the Lord, you have a target on your back from the enemy. That Satan's whole plot, his whole game is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all that he's trying to do. Because of the Word, you'll receive tribulation. Because of the Word, you'll be persecuted. And Jesus said, when this happens to a person that has no root, it says, immediately he stumbles. Immediately he stumbles. You guys know new believers, generally, they don't know that much. Right? And you wouldn't expect them to know that much. They may know the basics. I know just what I encountered, just what I discovered by the Spirit of God, that I'm a sinner and Jesus died for me. I'm a sinner that needs saving and He has saved me. I've received Him. That may be all that they know, because that's all you need to know to be saved. You don't need to be able to explain the Trinity. You don't need to be able to explain speaking in tongues or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or does God heal today? You don't need all that stuff to be saved. And often that's all that they know. They don't have deep doctrine and theology. Their roots don't go deep. And so what happens? Immediately, tribulations and trials, immediately people in their life begin to question them and what happened to them and the decision that they've made. The enemy begins to question them and they start to think things through on their own. Was that real? Right? Was the encounter that they had real? Was that really for me? Am I worthy of what He has done for me, supposedly? Right? They start to question. Do you really want to give up X, Y, and Z? Is it really worth it to you to give those things up? They begin to question things. What is this? It's tribulation and persecution because of the word. Because the word that they received, because they received Jesus. They become attacked in ways that they never saw coming. Tribulation means more than trouble. A lot of times I think we hear the word tribulation and we just think, man, that's like severe attacks, like things you can clearly see coming. But that word actually, in its simplest form, just means pressure. That they start to receive pressure because of the word they received. I received the word of the Lord, I'm saved now, and all of a sudden the world brings pressure. You guys, anybody like pressure? Some of you guys, you procrastinators, all like pressure. You're like, that's when I do my best work, under pressure. Most people don't like pressure, and you definitely don't want to be pressured because of a decision you've already made, but that's the world begins to do. They begin to pressure you because of the seed. They put pressure on you because they oppose it. And God says that those people immediately stumble. This word stumble. We like the word stumble in church. How you doing, brother? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I stumbled a little bit recently. This word stumble, we like to use it because it sounds way better than what it actually means. Right? It sounds like, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I mean, all things considered, but what it really means, the word stumble means enticed to sin. It says immediately because of this pressure, because of the word they've received, they immediately stumble. They're immediately enticed to sin. Just as quickly as they receive the seed, they are that quick to be enticed to sin. It's like the sun scorching a plant because there's not enough water. What happens to that plant? It starts to brown up. It gets brittle. It's easily broken. Withers away. This is the heart of man. Church, do you guys understand this morning that the heart of man is the most valuable thing on the face of the earth? It is. The heart of man is the most valuable thing on the face of the earth. Why do you think Satan works so hard to try to steal it and kill it and destroy it? Because it's the most valuable thing on the earth. And church, we see this all too often. And in this parable of the sower, what do we as sowers need to be learning? First of all, with all the ground that the seed falls on, our job is just to sow. Right? Our job is to sow. Our job is to share the word of the Lord. And I've shared before, there's times we put so much pressure on ourselves when we're sharing the word of the Lord that we got to know the right things to say, and man, we got to do what it takes to get a person saved. You can't save a person. You can't. You can't change their heart. What you can do is sow the truth in love and let the Holy Spirit do His job. That's what our job is. We're to sow, and we're to continue to sow, share the word of the Lord, the good news about Jesus. That's our job. But secondly, we need to learn that as we do that, some seed will fall on stony places. Sometimes there's people who seem like they're ready. They look like they're ready. Listen, we're going out looking for people to pray for and pray with. You're looking for somebody that's ready, aren't you? You're like, that guy looks easy. I will go pray with him. Right? Sometimes there's people that look ready. They appear ready. And you think, man, this is a layup. Thank you, Jesus. This is the way to get it started. But listen, they might be ready. They might be ready for change in their life, and they may even receive the word with joy. They may lay hold of it and like, yes, thank you for sharing that with me. That's great. And church, there's times where you're going to see that that's going to quickly fade because of the lack of depth when the pressure outside of here begins. Right? The pressure that's outside of here. This does not make those people a waste of our time. It doesn't make them a lost cause. It's quite the opposite. it's a great reason to follow up and invest in them. Amen? That we've got to invest in them. We can't just sow the word and just move on. That's the job of an evangelist, not a sower. Right? A sower has to continue to come back. Right? When Todd plants crops in his field, he doesn't just plant them and then just leave and like, eh. Hopefully one day they'll be good. Hopefully one day they'll produce something. Hopefully one day they'll be valuable. He has to check on them. He has to care to them. He has to do things to make sure that they grow. Our job is to sow, but our job is also to remember the fact that sometimes it takes more than just a one-time sowing of the seed. We've got to disciple people. Amen? We've got to disciple people. And listen, don't put so much pressure on discipleship. It doesn't have to be formal. Discipleship requires your time and the Word of God. That's it. Your time and the Word of God. Like most plants, need roots to go down deep. They need to get to that soil, get to the nutrients, get to the water to thrive. So does a person's spiritual life. We can't expect every person just to hear the word of the Lord, receive it, and boom, next thing you know, they're teaching the youth group or preaching a sermon. It doesn't work like that very often. Absolutely, there are people that God does move like that, but it's not the majority, church. The majority are right here. Stony ground, it's where they got some soil on the top, they're ready to receive it, but there's still something in them that's going to hold them back because they don't have the depth to draw roots. There's people who come back to Jesus again and again and again. So I share this all the time about the altar in this place. When we do altar calls, if you need to receive the Lord, if you need to receive healing, whatever it is, there's nobody here that's judging you for that. In fact, if anything, they're celebrating with you that you're receiving whatever it is that you need of the Lord today. Think about that kid in church camp who every year goes down for the altar call on the last day of camp and gets saved again, right? And then he goes back through the school year and like, you don't really look a whole lot like Christ, but the next year he comes back and gets saved again. You can have two different points of view on that. Why does he keep coming back and getting saved? Why doesn't he get his life together? Why doesn't he follow the Lord? Why doesn't he get on fire for God? Or you can have the point of view that's like, praise God, he's back again. Praise God, he's back again, that the Holy Spirit's still working in him, still wooing him, still drawing him near, that even though he gets out of here and the pressure gets to him, that when he has the opportunity, he comes back. One of these days, church, it's going to break through the stony places. One of these days, it will break through the stony places. We so often get so worried about, do I think a person is saved or not? Listen, it really doesn't matter all that much. God knows. Amen? God knows. And he's the one that matters. Whether conversations or conversions are genuine or not, we get so hung up on that. Jesus is the judge, church. Not you and not me. Yes, we're to judge one another, hold one another accountable. If they've given their life to Christ, you absolutely can bring correction to them in love. You can try to help them if they're going astray. But ultimately, God is the judge, and Jesus is the one who knows the heart. And he's the one who shared this parable. He's the one that said they received it. They laid hold of it, yet the pressures of life got to them, and they didn't produce. They didn't grow. They didn't advance the way that they needed to. Some of you may have thought of when Paul said, you will know them by their fruit. And you're like, well, they can't be a Christian. They don't produce anything. Can I tell you that verse, that you will know them by your fruit, is not about the receiver of the word. It's about the sower of the word. You'll know the sower of the word by their fruit. The people that are out there sowing seed, they're the ones that their life ought to look a lot more like Christ. Right? They ought to be to that place where they're mature enough that they're being a good example of their life. You ought to be able to discern whether they're false prophets or they're an actual child of God. You'll know a sower by their fruit, by how they live their life, by what they produce. A receiver is not always ready to produce. It takes time to produce. It takes time to be productive. Sometimes they just need someone that can sow and water and pray. Sow and water and pray. Church, that's our job. Our job is to sow, to water, to pray. Can we pray that the Holy Spirit make a way through stony places? That the Holy Spirit makes a way through the layer of rock that is under that soil. God can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. He can take something that's infertile and make it fertile. He can take the hardest places and He can soften them and prepare them. We've got to pray and ask that God would do what only He can do. And church, we should be excited if people come again and again and again. We should be excited that they aren't giving in to the shame and the condemnation of the enemy, but they feel a freedom to come to a Father who has arms wide open. Church, that's the prodigal son. That's what it's all about, is the fact that the Father is standing and waiting. He's excited at their return, and we ought to be too. We continue to sow. We continue to love. We continue to pray. In 1 John chapter 5, John gives his reasoning for writing the things that he's written. And he says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." That you may believe, but also to continue. This is why John wrote the things that he wrote. It's why he encourages the way that he encourages. Church, this is an example for you and for me. It's not just that someone would believe, but it's that we would do our part to help them to continue to believe. This is what church is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about believing in Him and continuing to believe in Him. To believe in who He is, to believe in what He has done, but also to believe in what He still has to do through you. To believe that He's not done with you yet. You guys believe that this morning? He's not done with you yet. No matter where you're at along your walk, God's got more in store for you. He has more in store for you. And so what is it that you're in need of today? Where do you find yourself in this story, as a sower or as a receiver? Some of you need the boldness and the confidence to sow. You need to be able to do that. Listen, that doesn't always look the same. It doesn't look the same. Not every field looks the same. But what opportunities is God giving you to sow? Do you need that boldness and that confidence today? If you do, we're going to have the altars open here in just a moment. We have people who will stand and believe with you and pray for a boldness to come upon you, for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, you need faith. Faith for that seed that's in stony places, that you would just continue to believe that God is at work, and if I continue to sow and water, that God can help bring a breakthrough in this person's life, maybe even in your own life. And some of you need prayer this morning for the strength, for these pressures that come because of the Word. The pressure that comes against what you say you believe, that tries to entice you to sin, that tries to draw you away. Church, you can overcome that pressure in the name of Jesus. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, pressure. Jesus said, you're going to have pressure, but you can take heart because I've overcome the world. Church, we don't get to escape the pressure. We still have it. If you've received the Word of God, you're going to have the pressure. It's a package deal. But He says, don't worry about it. Take heart. I've overcome it. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I believe He's here in this place, right here, right now. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank You and praise You for Your Word. We thank You for this parable, Jesus. We thank You for the manifold wisdom, the depth, the layers that are in Your Word and how they apply to our lives. I pray right now for the people in this room today. We surrender to You, Holy Spirit. We say, have Your way with us. Would You speak to our hearts and draw us near to You? God, would You silence the voice of the enemy in every ear that's in this place, that we would hear the still, small voice, the voice of God and what He's speaking to us, what my needs are today. Lord, today would You speak to us about whatever our need is, whether it's the boldness and the confidence, whether it's faith to continue believing, or whether it's the strength to withstand the pressure. Would You speak to us? And if that's us today, would You move upon our heart that we would cry out to the God who saves, the God who heals, the God who delivers, the God who sets free, and His name is Jesus. That today would be the day of salvation, but today would also be the day of freedom in Jesus' name. That Your people should not be chained. Your people should not feel bound. Your people should not feel weightiness and pressure of the world. But God, we should be free in the name of Jesus, free to serve You, to live for You at its fullest. That today would be that day that those chains could be broken and the weights could be lifted. Lord, as we open up the altar in a moment, we just pray for a freedom to come in this place to receive whatever it is we need from You. We give it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen.